Good to see you all today, and I greet you in the name of the Lord. Happy Sabbath. And when you've been through just what I've just been through, I've already preached a sermon. Now I've got to switch into another one. And so I ask your prayers, because sometimes I'm still thinking about the other one when I'm doing this one. Now, I won't today. The reading was from Matthew 5 and 9, and if you turn there, Jesus is doing his Sermon on the Mount, and he starts off with the Blesseds, or the Beatitudes, chapter 5, and he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I looked up peacemaker in the exhaustive concordance by, you know, that strong one, the one that's about that thick. And the word peacemaker occurs in the Bible only once. It does not show up again anywhere else. Only in this scripture is the word peacemakers there. And I thought that was quite significant. And I was going to say, okay, why? What's the significance of the word peacemaker? And I thought of another word, which is peacekeeper. I thought, well, isn't that about the same? When you think of the word peacekeeper and a peacemaker, do you almost think they're almost the same word? I did. I don't know about you, but no, they're not the same. A peacemaker is someone who reconciles parties. A person who brings folks that are at variance with one another and reconciles them to one another. Now that would be a fine art. If people specialized in peacemaking like they do in some medical fields, as in surgeons, as in eye doctors, as in dentists, if people could specialize in peacemaking, what a wonderful world this would be. In the Bible, there are basically two kinds of people: disturbers and reconcilers. Those that try to help things go along smoothly and get the job done, and those that get in their way. Now, some examples of peacemakers, I think of Moses. Moses was quite similar in his ministry to Jesus. In fact, he said there will be somebody quite a lot like me who will come later on and get the job done, basically, is what he's going to say. But Moses reconciled. He was a judge. Not only did he deliver, or was instrumental in delivering the people of God from Egyptian bondage, but he oftentimes had to sit, and the people were brought to him when they had a dispute with one another, and he tried to make judgments between them so that there would be peace, because the children of Israel found out the hard way that when there was discord in the camp, God often let them suffer consequences for it. The consequence of distress and strife and all that brought various plagues. Remember the snakes? The snakes that were stinging them and they were dying, and he lifted up a serpent on the pole and he said, "Look and live." In which was a type and shadow of looking to Jesus. You know, look at the cross, look at the reconciler, look at the one who brings us back into fellowship with God. Well, on earth we need to have some peacemakers. Now there are people called peacekeepers. And a peacekeeper is more or less a policeman. and he will enforce the peace with violence if he must. He does not reconcile parties. What he does is quashes rebellions, riots. He goes and gets the bad guy when somebody breaks into your house or robs you or steals your car or breaks the law in any way, disturbing the peace. You know, having a wild party, he comes in there and he breaks it up. And if he has to, he arrests people. And if he has to forcibly, he does that. But he does not reconcile parties one to another. But there is a special blessing upon the person who can reconcile those who are at variance with one another. If, God created us perfect, and we were innocent. But the first dispute between two human beings was that God had favored Abel, and he disapproved of the offering of Cain. And God said, don't be angry with him. Why are you angry? You know, if you do right, you'll be approved. But if you persist in having that attitude, sin is very close to you and can overcome you. But you can overcome sin if you just change your attitude. That's basically what the Lord told Cain. He didn't change his attitude. And when one day he was talking with his brother Abel, got pretty angry with him and slew him. Because here's the reconciliation that Cain was taught. If you want to please God, then you must do it God's way. And God said there must be a sacrifice, there must be bloodshed. It has to be innocent blood, and it has to be a lamb in the prescribed manner. This is what I want you to do. If you want to be reconciled to God, if you want to please God, then sacrifice a lamb, confess your sin, and I will accept you. That's not good enough for some people. And then along came Moses, and Moses brought the law to the people and said, if you want God to be with you and to save you and to keep you and to deliver you and give you victories over your enemies, here's the prescription. Follow the prescription and God will approve of you, and he will do as he said he would do. And if you don't, well then, instead of blessing you, he will curse you. And so many people opt for the curses instead of the blessings. Do they not? And then they blame God. But God has made a way for us to be reconciled to himself. But there is a condition even on that. He says, if you have aught against your brother or your sister, if you've been offended or you feel you have offended someone else, if it nags at you, it's probably true. One way or the other, you need to go to that person and you need to make it right and ask for their forgiveness. Now, whether they forgive you or not is up to them. But you must do these things. Try your best to reconcile yourself to your brother or your sister, because this is the only way the church will work. This is the only way that we will be able to win souls for the kingdom of God. If we practice peacemaking amongst ourselves, then happy we are. And that's what it says. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are the peacemakers. We do not need policemen in here to enforce peace, to keep peace among us. It will not work. You cannot force people. Oh, you can make them obey. You can make them keep the law because they're fear of punishment, but their heart is not going to be changed. In fact, some people's hearts get even the more angry and the more set on doing what they're going to do. Pharaoh had the same opportunity to be blessed of God if he only would have obeyed the commandment of God to let the people go. But he hardened his heart. And we have the choice of softening our hearts or hardening our hearts. For blessed are the peacemakers. Now here's an example of somebody who was a disturber who turned into a peacemaker. You remember Joseph, the 12 sons of Jacob, and Joseph was the favored little boy, little fair-haired, golden-haired boy, the one that daddy loved more than the rest. Now, in the beginning, and I know he was a good boy, but he had his flaws. And one of the flaws was is that he kind of gloated in the face of his brothers. And he spoke out of turn. And he tended to make them angry. And I suppose he did it in ignorance because he just felt everybody should love me like my daddy loves me. And it's a surprise to some children when they find out, when they go out to school and they find out that other people don't like them. That everybody up to this point has loved me, and all of a sudden there's a kid that wants to beat them up. You know? And so Joseph didn't realize in his innocence that he was provoking his brothers. But he learned through hardship, through being sent down into Egypt, he learned at being in prison, and he learned to cultivate an attitude of God will make a way where there is no way, and I will do my best to be the best that I can be in the circumstances that I am in. I will not complain. I will not blame anybody. And I will, because I believe the vision that God put in my heart that one day all my brothers and my father will bow down to me. And although that seemed very distasteful to his brothers and to his father too, he says, "What kind shall your mother and I bow down to you?" Even Jacob thought that was a kind of a little bit extravagant. But he believed the dream that God gave him, that one day God would lift him out of the circumstances he was in. And when it was time to settle with his brothers, he made peace with them. Did he not? Now isn't that a blessed example? Joseph is a blessed example of a right attitude that was given to him through adversity. When things went wrong in his life, he just kept on keeping on and doing what was right, no matter whether Potiphar's wife wanted him to sin and nobody was watching, and he says, "Yes, yes, yes, this is a sin in the sight of God. Goodbye, see you later." And so he maintained his integrity and he became a peacemaker. Isn't that the kind of people we want to be? Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, when Jesus was training his disciples, there was a lot of talk amongst themselves, who will be the greatest? And even James and John went to Jesus, and they brought, you know, if you want to soften a man up, bring a woman, bring your mother, bring... And they brought their mother and says, "Well, you know, would you put these, my sons, one on your left and one on your right?" And he said, "That's not for me to give. But the Father has already chosen." Isn't that interesting? Who's going to be on the left and who's going to be on the right? And then he said, "He that would be great amongst you, let him be your servant. The example that I have showed you," and he showed them at the Last Supper, he says, "I do this. I wash your feet. You don't understand what I'm doing, but someday you will understand that to be exalted, you must put yourself down. Not disparage yourself, but put yourself in the place of a servant." So Jesus showed us by example how to be a peacemaker and how to bring reconciliation between brethren. He says, "Because I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to die." He said, "Oh, no, no, don't die, don't die. We don't want you to die." "No, I must." He said, "I'm going to die for the sins of the whole world so that the whole world can be reconciled to God." And they did not understand. They wanted to keep Jesus with them. And so they were jockeying to see who would be the greatest. And he said, and one day they brought a child. And he says, "This is the greatest. Except you become as little children, you cannot even enter into the kingdom of heaven." So this is the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be. Childlike. Not childish, but childlike in attitude. And just looking to him with adoration and wonder. And yes, Jesus, what is it that I can do to please you? And Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." You know, the example that I am setting for you, I want you to be like that. So that when you see somebody in distress, like that poor man who was, he was robbed, and his own kind, you know, the Jewish rabbi, the Levite, the priest, would not so much as bend over to help him. They saw him in danger. But here's an ordinary Samaritan and comes and takes care of him. I want you to be like that Samaritan. Now, I know most of you are like the Levite and the priest, but here's the ideal. Be like the Samaritan. Love this person and take care of one another. Help each other. And that's what all these blessings are all about. We have varying kinds of needs. Poor in spirit. People who are mourning. People who are meek. Those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And merciful people. And pure in heart. And those that are being persecuted. All these people have this thing in common in that they are blessed. How are they blessed? Because they're doing it for his sake. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Sometimes we are falsely accused. People don't understand us. They get it wrong. You try to give them one impression and they get the wrong impression. What can you do? Well, you can ask for wisdom. You can pray for peace. But the thing is to be reconciled with your brother or your sister. Try to get these misunderstandings ironed out. And do it his way. Love one another as I have loved you. And beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we shall be called the sons of God if we are peacemakers. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we give you blessing, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you thanks that you have set an example for us and that you have shown us by your life what it is to be totally unselfish and the great lengths that you went to reconcile us to the Father. But we know that we cannot be reconciled to the Father unless we are reconciled to one another. And therefore, my prayer here is that if anybody within the sound of my voice is harboring anything in their heart against their brother or against their sister, is thinking the wrong way or has been misunderstood and would like to make it right, that they would do so on this blessed Sabbath day, that the church could be of one mind and of one accord, and that we would all be eagerly anticipating the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we could all be in one mind and one frame to try to win souls for you, and that we could just be at peace with one another. This is my prayer in Jesus' name.